Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Nalakuvera and Manigriva, now you may both return home. Since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service, your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled. And now you will never fall down from that platform. Purport: the highest perfection of life is to come to the platform of devotional service and always engaged in devotional activities. Understanding this, Nalakuvera and Manigriva desired to attain that platform, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed them with the fulfillment of their transcendental desire. So I'll just read the next text, 43, and then we'll go back to 42. Shri Suka Vacha Iti Yukto Tu Parikramya Pranayama Chapuna Puna Badholokalam Ammanchya Jagmatu Dishamutaram. Sukadev Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead having spoken to the two demigods in this way, they circumambulated the Lord, who was bound to the wooden mortar, and offered obeisances to him. After taking the permission of Lord Krishna, they returned to their respective homes. Om agyanatmanandasya gyananjana salakaya chaksuran malitanjena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manubhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa karamayam darati svaparantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutapada kamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Aripre Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasandhubhyavicha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shrivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's amazing. This verse is absolutely amazing. So if we just follow the orders of the spiritual master, you follow all the Vedic literatures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you follow it to the T, and then there's no problem. Problem solved. But it's not easy as that in the material world. So the association of devotees is absolutely vital. So yeah, we can see in this chapter, there's actually 43 texts in this chapter. And from 29 to 38 is glorification. As soon as the brothers realized they were going to see Krishna face to face, then from 29 to 38, they start their prayers to Krishna. In awe and reverence to Narada Muni, who gave them that curse, in appreciation for that curse. Initially, when we are cursed, we don't see the benefit of the curse. We kind of look at the person in ridicule, we criticize the person, we do all things. But Prabhupada says that real surrender actually means to accept everything as Krishna's plan. It's very difficult for us in the material world because of dualities. Happiness and distress, heat and cold, marches, passes to Kundiya. We can't take the dualities. So then one minute we're happy, one minute we're sad, and life goes on like that. So (clears throat) We've heard these stories of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva so many times, but the more we hear it, the more the purification of the heart. We get more purified in the heart. So we'll just go a little bit back to the story. Now, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadev Goswami, what happened? Why have these boys been cursed? So Sukadev Goswami is going in detail. And we can see here when one is opulent, when one is rich, when one is, you know, got a lot of money, then it goes to their head. Because you provided for, you have everything. Sometimes when you're doing sankirtan, the same kind of thing happens. My husband was telling me a couple of times he met some celebrities. And Hugh Grant, I don't know if you know Hugh Grant, he met him in Kensington and he stopped him. And he said, oh, I got my own charity, said to him. And then he met another politician, and he just turned his head and walked away. So because they have riches and they have so-called prestigious position, they don't want to know. And Prabhupada explains, he goes through 1.5 pages as well in Krishna book with the story of, you know, Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. He says how difficult it is for rich people rather than poor people to take to Krishna consciousness. Because poor people, they got nothing to lose, really. They got no money to gamble. They got no money for, you know, illicit sex or gambling or, you know, meat eating. They eat very little. They can't afford to buy expensive food. So it's easier for them to take to Krishna consciousness than, you know, the rich people. So Nala Kuvera and Manigriva was in this situation. They were completely intoxicated by their opulence. And because they were, the father, Kuvera, was associated with Lord Shiva, then they had the privilege of having the association, that elevated association with Lord Shiva as well. And they were like allowed to go to Kailash, to go to the gardens and enjoy pastimes there. So whatever Nala Kuvera and Manigriva has done there, exactly the same thing is happening here in the material world. Exactly. Drinking, smoking, alcohol, and, you know, frolicking with boys and girls, intermingling. Everything is them. So these boys, they were drinking so much that their eyes were rolling and they were unconscious of all the activities. They were enjoying with all these young girls, and these girls were following them everywhere, because the girls knew that these boys came from a prestigious family and they felt they were in an elevated position to be associating with them. So they started singing beautiful songs, following the boys everywhere they went, and they were attracted. And then the two boys went naked. They were playing in this water which was full of lotuses, and the girls were naked as well. So you can see the replica of the demigod planet is here in this material world. Sometimes you go to some places where there's special provision given to people to be naked, go naked on the beach, and they feel there's some freedom there to be naked. Actually, in America, I won't mention names, some of the devotees, some of Prabhupada disciples were saved from this situation. Some of the disciples of Prabhupada were practicing yoga in a particular ashram where they were naked, and Prabhupada saved them. So when Prabhupada walked into this place, he was completely shocked. And then when Prabhupada left, The ashram started diminishing in size, this naked cologne. And then, meanwhile, people were going, following Srila Prabhupada. And it's amazing how this thing happens. So in the material world, it's exactly the same. But when we look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the difference? So when Narada Muni came past, and he saw this, and he felt so much compassion. What is the difference between Srila Prabhupada and Narada Muni? When I was reading this text, I thought, no, there's no difference. What is the difference? Prabhupada is following his spiritual master, Guru Parampara. Narada Muni, Krishna, his spiritual master, is going down. Guru Parampara, disciplic succession. And Narada Muni goes from planet to planet, and Srila Prabhupada went from country to country, spreading this Krishna consciousness amazingly. So when Narada Muni saw the boys, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, with these girls flourishing, the girls were embarrassed. They were very embarrassed. Unfortunately for the boys, they were not. They continued nakedly enjoying with the girls, but the girls covered themselves, it's explained. So, when they covered themselves, then Narada Muni felt a great compassion because their father was very respectable, Kuvera. Normally, for parents, it's very, very difficult to discipline their children. You would know from experience, parents would know from experience that it's very difficult to discipline one's child. Sometimes they talk to other friends and other relatives to speak to their children, so they would get some sense. They say familiarity breeds contempt. Therefore, Prabhupada says, when the child grows to at least 14 or 15, the child becomes a friend. You cannot discipline the child anymore. You can only give advice. Normally, children, they go their own way. I can talk from experience because I have three of my own. They're all adults now. And I said, sometimes people ask me, how are your children? I say, well, they like towering infernos now. they want to experience material world. They're born and brought up in the movement. And then when they come to a certain age, they're thinking, what is out there that my parents don't want me to see or don't want me to know? So they want to get that experience. And because sometimes it's our fault in a sense, we've given them something like one-track-minded. We haven't given them both worlds. What is there? We haven't given them the teachings. You have to be Krishna conscious. You have to do this. You have to do that. Don't do this. Don't. It's only do's and don'ts. We didn't really give them explanation. And at the crucial time of nearly becoming teenagers, we send them to outside, to the slaughterhouses. And that's the biggest detriment for our children. Unbelievably. Because at the age of 13, they're nearly teenagers, puberty age, and they sent out to the material school, and they have to mold themselves in such a way to fit in. And they're devastated. My kids took 2 long years to adjust themselves to the environment of outside schools. So, and then up until they kind of molded themselves a little bit to integrate with the outside, the materialists, then they were accepted. It's very painful for parents. It's very painful. And then as the years are going, you can see them slowly drifting, from the association of devotees, slowly. But deep down, parents will think, once a devotee, always a devotee, deep down. And the prayer is, one day they'll come around. No. And I can see devotee gurukulis. After they get married and they have their own children, then the devotees completely change. They're meditating, they're thinking, I want my child to be Krishna conscious. So they bring their children to the temple. And in this way, they guide the children. So this Manigriva and Nalakuvera, they were bad boys, bad children to the parents. So anyway, they were cursed. Then Narada Muni thought, the only way these boys can learn a lesson is by them being semi-conscious. Semi-conscious means if they're stuck in one place, they won't be able to do anything. And normally it's explained the karma for being naked in public. Prabhupada says that only an uncivilized person would go naked in public, especially the lower garments. So Narada Muni thought, yes, this is the only way. And as I was saying, the karma for being naked is to become trees in your next life. So Narada Muni thought, okay, you become trees, but in your birth as trees, then you would remember your next life. In your next life, you will remember who you were and what you were doing. So for 100 years, demigod years, these two boys were in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. They were there. And then when Krishna was tied to the wooden grinding mortar, he knew Krishna. Of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows everything in and out. He knows the curses of all the devotees from the demigods. And he kind of fulfills the curses of the demigods. How many curses? Can we remember any curses? One is Hiranyakashipu. Who was it? Who was cursed? There's so many curses put on so many devotees that was detrimental in the beginning, but liberation was there. Kamsa. Kamsa was killed by Krishna. Jai and Vijay. Vritasura. There's so many demons, but all these demons got liberation. The people around, when Kamsa was killed, everyone was kind of shocked. He had this effulgence coming out of the body, his body, and merging into Krishna's body. And people were completely shocked. How is it possible? He did so many bad things, killing children, and yet he merges into the body of the Supreme Lord. So, and when the two boys came out of this tree, where Krishna was like, he crawled, he was going, it's explained in Krishna book that he was very slowly going towards the Arjuna trees. And just before he got there, Krishna was thinking, I have to fulfill the desire of my devotee. My devotee, Narada Muni, is very, very special. So Krishna is always fulfilling the desires of, when Lord Brahma gave the boon to Hiranyakashipu, Nrisingadev came. We know all the story of Nrisingadev, when he appeared, how he didn't kill with any weapons, with his nails, all the stories we know. So Nrisingadev fulfilled all the desires. So here, Krishna is meditating. Before he goes to the Arjuna trees, he's thinking, I have to fulfill. I mean, I don't need to save these boys. What have they done for me? They haven't done. They've been enjoying with boys. They've been drinking Varuna, completely intoxicated, enjoying with young women. I have nothing to do with them. Why? Why should I save them? But because of my very dear devotee, Narada Muni, he passed this curse and he told them that you will see Krishna face to face. You will see God face to face. And he thought, before he went to between the Arjuna trees, he thought, I am going to manifest myself face to face to these two boys because my devotee Narada wanted that. So it's explained that grinding mortar went horizontal when Krishna was crawling, going towards the tree. And as he went close, when they touched, then with a little force, these two magnificent forms came out of these trees. And they were the two brothers. They were so beautiful. They were dazzling like fire, it's explained. And then from 29 to 38, the most amazing prayer, they say. So I'm going to read a little bit of the prayers. Just bear with me, because sometimes we can pray like this to the Supreme Lord. And in that way, we can be guided, because the Supreme Lord promised them that they would go back home, back to Godhead, and never fall again to this material world. So if we sincerely read this chapter and abide by everything that Krishna is saying, then one day, who knows if we're following sincerely, then we can, what Prabhupada said as well. Prabhupada said, if you follow everything sincerely, follow the four regulative principles, be in the association of devotees, chant your 16 rounds, take prasadam, if you read the Shastras, you do all this very sincerely, one day you'll be able to see Krishna face to face. But have we got that faith? This is the thing. Have we got the faith, the determination, and the conviction that this is going to happen? So these boys, they had complete faith, they had the determination, and they had the conviction, because they appreciated what Narada was giving. So now here, do we really appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has given us? If we really do appreciate, I'm speaking for myself, not just for the audience, do we really appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has given us? He spent tons of blood writing these books. When he was in Radha Damodara temple, he had nothing. He just left his family. And he was thinking twice. He said, what am I doing here? I have no family. I have no friends. I'm all alone. What am I doing here? He was thinking like this. But then, because of his sincerity of heart, then everything took a turn. He met, a friend, and a friend took him to Bhaktisiddhanta, and the story went on. So what I'm trying to say here is, are we appreciative of what we have? Are we taking it for granted with all the knowledge? Everything is on our plate for us. We don't have to translate anything. We don't have to try and initially go somewhere to make devotees. Of course, we do Sankirtan. And from 65, Bhagavad Gita 65 to 69, it's amazing how Krishna is saying, don't give this knowledge to the non-believers. But it's not like we don't do Sankirtan, we don't give the knowledge to others, we don't give any books. No. We don't know who is favorable and who is not favorable. Like Srila Prabhupada say, you only know a person when they open the mouth. You only know a person when they speak. So we go on Sankirtan, we don't force people. Prabhupada says that this message is not to be given by force. Love is not forced on anyone. It's a voluntary thing. So when we're giving out this message, we don't push the person till they become inimical and offensive. And Prabhupada said that Krishna is already there in the heart of this person. And he is actually speaking to the person. He said, I'm sorry, you're not going to take a book. Or you're not going to be you may be favorable, but you're not going to take a book, because you're not so fortunate. this time. You're not so fortunate. So the person that's actually giving the book, when the other person says no, they're not going to take a book, you don't become discouraged. Then you start with the next person and the next person. The next person might take 3 books. So our life in this material world is all connected to our previous life. But the present activities determine our next life. So whatever we've done in our previous life, we connect it. Therefore, it says that whatever we do in our spiritual life is never lost. It's like a spiritual bank balance. It's carried over. So in this way, whatever activities we perform in this life will be carried to our next life. But we don't want to go to our next life. Prabhupada said, you can finish your business in this life. So in this life, we can finish our business, just like Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, they went back to Godhead, just by finishing the business. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So, the example there is given as well with 2 brothers called, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Jagai and Madai. That is a typical example. Jagai and Madai apparently were looking through the scriptures to see what sinful activities they didn't perform yet. Amazing. They were looking, what haven't we done yet? You know, we have to start again. Whereas, because in the scriptures it tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So they went to see all the things what we shouldn't do, because they didn't want to miss out on anything. That's how bad they were, the boys. But Jagai and Madai were so bad, but Lord Chaitanya was unbelievable. Lord Nityananda was unbelievably compassionate. So much compassion that he was actually cracked on his head. Still, he went down on his knees and he was praying to Lord Chaitanya, don't use the chakra on these boys. Because if you're going to kill them, then you have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. Everyone's fallen. Everyone is trying to get your mercy. Everyone wants to, you know, become devotees, but somehow they have fallen into this world of material existence. So we need to help this boy. So because of the mercy of Lord Nityananda, these boys were saved. And one of them, I always get confused, was it Madai, that when he went to attack Nityananda again, said, stop, no, don't do it. Don't attack him again. So in this way, because Nityananda approached, then Lord Chaitanya, they were saved, the boys were saved. And then they took a turning point in their life. They completely and utterly surrendered. Surrendered so completely that Lord Chaitanya said, these boys have surrendered so much that if anyone ever criticizes them once for what they were, they shouldn't be in the association. They shouldn't be in the association. I don't want to know them. They shouldn't be anywhere near devotees. So in this way, Jagai and Madai were accepted as devotees. So for us, it's so difficult, so very difficult as devotees, because we externalize all our activities so much. We think this devotee, that devotee, this devotee, that devotee. Everything that we do in our life should be internalized. Internalized. And we have to look into our own self. How am I, what am I doing to increase other people's devotion? Or how am I being detrimental to other people's devotional service? Not is how, you know, how am I being it? What am I being? What is happening to me? Who is this person that's trying to bring me down or hurt me like that. So we have to look deep within ourselves how we can make changes so the world can be changed. Just by seeing our example. Recently, there was so many different calamities in my life, in within the family, you know, everything. But I find that prayer is very, very helpful. Prayer and then following, you know, the principles that we are given. We're very, very fortunate. We have to see, if we can't see our fortune in this Krishna consciousness, what Prabhupada has given us, then it's very, very difficult to move forward, to make any advancement. So, recently I had my sister. I got seven sisters. There's seven of us. The first one was a boy, the oldest one. And my mother, very strong woman, she said, I got first boy. The second one was a girl. So my mother loves boys. So she said, no, I want another boy. She ended up having six girls. She still didn't. She said, no, I want that boy. I want a boy. And the last one was a boy. So she had seven girls and two boys. Two boys, one the eldest and the youngest was a boy. So recently, the second sister, the oldest sister and then the second one, she just had a heart attack. Bless her soul. It was very, very sad. In 1975-76, when Srila Prabhupada went to South Africa, he gave a little lecture in a community hall. And this sister of mine had twin boys. And at that time, they were six-month-old babies. I probably was around 18, 19 then. And I used to go and visit her just to be with these babies, absolutely cute twins. And the hall where she lived, the hall was opposite her house. It was a community hall. And Prabhupada was coming to this place, which was opposite her house, to come and give a lecture there. At that time I went to her house for a weekend, because I loved those babies. And that night, she told me, that evening she told me, look, there's a program in this hall tonight. Why don't we all go? I said, you know what? These programs are for old people. You go to the program. I will stay and babysit for you, because I love these babies. So I said, go with the neighbors and you'll have a good time. So she went. She went to this program with the neighbors. And the next morning, I said to her, how was the program? And she said, oh, it was really nice. They put this small man in a big seat. And he was talking for a long time. So I thought, oh, you know, I didn't ask any further questions. That was it. So, and then she started chanting a little bit. And then she was going to the temple for a little bit. But she was a very ardent worshipper of Lord Shiva. Very strong. Lord Shiva and Kartikeya. And she had Jesus Christ on her altar as well. She was very broad-minded, my sister. So anyway, 76. 1980, it was. I thought to myself, if ever I get... No, I asked my mum, why have we got so many deities on the altar? We're praying to so many deities. But I was attracted to Lord Ganesh. He was my favorite on the altar. So I said, why are we worshipping so many gods? But like all Indians, bless them, Hindus, my mother said to me, all gods are one. You just pray to all of them. But I wasn't satisfied with this, so I went in search looking. And I thought, within 3 months, if I'm gifted, if I can go to India to find out more, then I will shave my head. And this is like a test. Within 3 months, my aunt comes over and she said, "We're going to India. Do you want to go?" And I thought, my God, this is a bit quick. Anyway, I did go to India, went to Tirupati, shaved my head, and come back. And cutting the story short, I was still looking, and then I got leaflets through the post about vegetarianism and demigods, and the demigod leaflets solved the problem that I had. Then I started visiting the temple. But coming back to my sister, a month ago, I got a message at 11 at night that she had a heart attack, the sister of mine. And I was quite shocked because she was very fit, nothing, no heart attacks in the family, nothing. So she had a heart attack. During the day, it was a mild one. She thought that it was some getting out of breath, you know, breathlessness or something, but when she went to the hospital, they told her she had a mild heart attack, two mild heart attacks. And then she was fit. All the family went and visited her. Then they left, and at night, at 11 o'clock, she had a major heart attack. And she left her body, just like that, left her body. And then about 11:45, midnight, I get a call that your sister has left, passed away. So 1 o'clock, we're booking tickets. Anyway, went over. And then it was sad. It was sad. At the same time, I thought she saw Prabhupada. She actually said, and I spoke to Shivram Maharaj. And then he said, she saw Srila Prabhupada. She's definitely liberated. So I was thinking, she's liberated. She saw Prabhupada. She was worshipping Lord Shiva. And here it says, where is this? Yesterday's. Was it Friday's verse? Yes, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastik Hoy, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. If by chance one meets a sadhu, a devotee, one's life is immediately successful, and one is freed from material bondage. It may be argued that whereas someone may receive a sadhu with great respect, someone else may not receive a sadhu with great respect. A sadhu, however, is always equipoised towards everyone. Because of being a pure devotee, a sadhu is always ready to deliver Krishna consciousness without discrimination. As soon as one sees a sadhu, one naturally becomes free. Nonetheless, persons who are too offensive who commit Vaishnava aparads or offenses to a sadhu will have to take some time before being rectified. This is also indicated herein. So you can imagine she saw a sadhu once and it said that she's liberated, and we're seeing sadhus every day. We spoiled, actually. We are really spoiled kids. We have sadhus every day that's giving us this Krishna consciousness. Time is up. There's so much more to say. But I'll just read a little bit anecdotes that I was reading from Bhakti Chiru and Radhanath Swami very quickly. So Bhakti Chiru Swami says, our own endeavors can only take us to a certain level, but the ultimate level in mercy comes from the Vaishnavas and Krishna. So we cannot think that we can make advancement by our own efforts. When we surrender everything to Krishna, then we are qualified to receive Krishna's mercy. Without the grace of the Supreme Lord, no one can be prosperous or happy. If one is prepared to receive his mercy unlimitedly, then one should be prepared to give unlimitedly. It's not one-sided. We have to give to get. So Krishna is merciful, but Lord Chaitanya is called Mahavadanaya. He is more merciful. Krishna says, abandon everything, and surrender to me. But Lord Chaitanya appeared to be contradicting that. He says, you don't have to give up anything. Just add the holy name to whatever you're doing. And grudge. It's a trick, actually. If you seriously add the holy name and all the things that go with it, then gradually whatever materialistic activities or we attach to, gradually they fall away. But we have to have that determination to stick to the path. Okay, this is from Radhanath Swami. Regulative principles must be followed to get the mercy of the Lord. That mercy carries out beyond material conception. There is no other way but beg for mercy. If we are not begging, then we are not going to get it. We have to beg. Even Gaur Govinda Swami always says we have to cry and beg. Pride can hinder one's Krishna consciousness. When we treat people properly rather than manipulate, exploit, or become selfish, then we attract the when we treat people properly rather than manipulate and exploit or selfish, then we attract the mercy of the Lord in the spirit of servitude. See, discipline is the prerequisite to learn the art of surrender. Discipline. First, we have to follow principles. We have to abide by rules and regulations. Vaidhi Bhakta first. And then we learn the art of surrender to the Supreme Lord. Dantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Bhaktivinoda ki jai.